Jack Harbaugh has joined us here on Sports Byline USA. Jack, when you think about the universities where you've either been a head coach or you've been an assistant coach, I mean, you've been at big universities, as you said, Bo Schembechler at Michigan, at Stanford University as well, or maybe you know, when you were an assistant coach at Morehead State University. Was the enjoyment of coaching any different, whether it was a big school or a small school for you?
No, it wasn't. As I mentioned, teaching at junior high school, we had as much fun as we did coaching in Rose Bowls at the University of Michigan. And each one of them were a little different. The thing I regret now is we moved around so much. We moved 17 times, and we were at 14 different places. You know, I kind of envy some of those coaches now that spent a large portion of their career at one university, you know, I was kind of an ambitious guy, and I'd be at the Mid-American, and a job chance that came to coach in the Big Ten. Wow, coaching the Big Ten! Then you get to the Big Ten. You want to be a coordinator. Then you want to be a head coach, and that caused you to constantly move and move your family. I could have been happy coaching high school football in Ohio. I could have been very happy being an assistant coach at Bowling Green State University, assistant position coach at Bowling Green. I didn't have to be a coordinator. I didn't have to be a head coach, as I look back, to enjoy the game as much as I did. But that ambition sometimes got in its way, and it caused us to move around a lot, move our kids around a lot. I don't think it hurt them any, but I just look back and think we might have could have done it a little differently.
Let me ask you about your two sons, because Jim was a quarterback in college, and, of course, John was a defensive back in college as well. Do you see that they approach the game from a coaching standpoint as head coaches now from their various perspectives of how and what they played in college?
I don't know if it had so much to do in John's case of that. I think John is one of the people, as I look back, and all the great coaches that I work with, John really has a broad view of the game of football. He has been a special teams coach and a very successful one for 10 years with the Philadelphia Eagles. He has a fantastic grasp on that. Then he worked on the defensive side of the ball for 1 year at Philadelphia around Jim Johnson, who I consider one of the great, great coaches, defensive coordinator there at the Philadelphia Eagles when John was there, one of the great football coaches that I've ever had a chance to visit with. And now with the Ravens, he takes an active view on the offensive side of the ball. So I think he has a real full spectrum of the game of football. Now, Jim's a little more focused. I think the 15 years that he spent as a quarterback and then the time he spent as a head coach has been on the pretty much on the offensive side of the ball, and has hired some very, very good defensive coaches, and has kind of left them to coach the defensive side of it. But the fact that he knows offense so well and the perspective as a quarterback, he really has a very firm grasp of the defensive side of the ball as well. But Jim's probably a little bit more focused on the offense, where John has a little bit more of the big picture look at it.
I might point out to people that during the course of the NFL season that Jack gets involved with both his sons, and they send him tapes for a few hours early each week. He will retire to the basement, turn on his iPad, courtesy of his sons, and study the coach's tape of the 49ers and the Ravens' previous games. And I loved your quote. You said, "For me, it's a great thrill when the phone rings. I look at it, and I see a San Francisco number or a Baltimore number, and I get excited. They might ask a question, and I'm able to express myself, and they don't get mad at me. It's just a great conversation." And I guess that must bring joy to you, because you don't have to take sides. You can say whatever you want, and they can take out of it whatever they want.
Well, it's a perfect situation for me. When I got out of coaching, in 2002, actively involved, I wondered what it was going to do, how I would react to that. But because of both of them being in coaching, they have always allowed me to be around the game, could come to practice and sit in on the meetings and sit in on the film sessions, and they would ask my opinion. And then I got in, and when they became head coaches, got in. They would send the tapes, the actual, the DVDs, and I could stick them in. And now it's a little more sophisticated with the iPads. But know, they send me, give me that information, and I grind at it just like I did back in the old days, and wait for a call. And some weeks the call might come, and other weeks it might not come. But I want you to know I'm prepared.
Are those calls, Jack, any different whether the teams, either of their teams, win or lose?
No, it's not. It's really not. And I look at it, and I'm really honest with myself. And the game has changed so much. I mean, it's such a complex game now that I think sometimes the average fan, it doesn't. It's a game that doesn't look as if it's complicated, but it really is. It's changed so much that it's left me in the wake a little bit. It's really passed me by, but to be still, you know, have an opportunity to look at the tape, and then they might ask a question. I really get excited about that, you know, being able to express myself. And the one thing they'll do is very patiently, you know, listen. And every once in a while you get a call and you'll say, you know what, we looked at that and we've changed it, or we've tweaked it a little bit, and we want to thank you for your input. And I want you to know my heart starts beating and I get a smile on my face. I get excited to know that I had a little bit of part of the whole thing.
You also said the thing I appreciate most is them. For a couple of hours a week, they just allow me the opportunity to go back to when I was actively involved in coaching. You know as well as I do that it's an even bigger business than ever before. And I'm just wondering, would you want to be a head coach either at college or in the pros today, knowing what it's like today?
Well, I know it's different. I know it really is a very difficult, very, very difficult job. And as I say, I think the game has passed me by. But if you could see Ron down in the basement when those games, I know those games are on the iPad. I got about 7 or 8 pencils that are all sharpened down there. I got a couple notepads and I got the desk all got the papers all spread out, and turn that thing on. I want you to know, I just sit back and I look at like 50-some years of coaching. You know, it's 50-some years of welcoming that opportunity of having a chance to look at tape one more time, maybe to find something that'll be accepted and something that will make a difference in a game plan. And I think if you ask any coach, you know, fan might think, wow, to be out there and there's 50,000 people screaming and coaches down on the sidelines and calling plays or calling defenses, that's got to be where the real thrill comes in. But it really isn't. It's those times in the office, you know, when you're with your staff and you're looking at tape and somebody comes up with an idea and another guy questions that idea. Then you get into this discussion. You get into this conflict, if you will, and you work it out. And finally a decision is made and you put in a play or you put in a defense or you put in a technique, and that thing works on Sunday or it works on Saturday. And the thrill that you get as a coaching staff and being around the kids and for them to understand that you're working hard to try to make them the best people they can be and be the best football players they can be, that's what coaching's all about. It really isn't the confetti and all the other things that come down in those magical moments.
I remember talking to a good friend, Archie Manning, about what it was like when he and his wife had to endure the first game of Peyton and his brother. And he said it was difficult. It really, really was. And I know the brothers played each other, you know, the first time in what they called the Harbaugh Bowl on Thanksgiving Day 2011. What was it like for you and your wife?
Well, that first time on Thanksgiving, it was at the Ravens Stadium, and the Ravens were very kind to us. They found a little office for us in the stadium, and they brought in a bottle of wine and a six-pack of Coors and a big high-D HD television set, and we watched the game in there by ourselves. And my wife gets very animated at the games. I mean, she gets excited, and this game, I mean, it was just, she just sat there and watched it, never talked, never said a word, you know, one play this way, play that way, no emotion whatsoever. But that was a very surreal experience. And then the Super Bowl was far beyond that. We enjoyed ourselves so much up until game time. And then once the ball was kicked off, it kind of really settled in that, you know, for every good play by the one team was a not so good play by the other team. And to show any kind of emotion where you were and those sitting around you would kind of signal that you might prefer one over the other. And that's the last thing that you wanted to do. So you wanted to see two comatose individuals watching a Super Bowl. That would have been the place to study Jack and Jackie Harbaugh, because we were afraid to scratch our nose. We were afraid to raise our hand for any reason at all, for fear that that would show a preference for one team or one son. So it was a very difficult experience.
What was your evaluation of that Super Bowl game to each of your sons then afterwards?
You know, I've never watched it. I've never put it on tape. I've never looked at it. I really have no ambition, no desire to do it, just because of the feeling that we had during the game. I really couldn't tell you how the game went. I do remember the last play, you know, the fourth down play in the end zone. I remember that very clearly. But the other parts of it really, really are a blur. And then when the game was over, you know, John had just won the Super Bowl, and we were so proud of him because he had taken the long road. You know, he had taken the road where a graduate assistant and an assistant coach and a coordinator and 10 years there with the Eagles and all that. And here he just won the greatest prize in all of football. And again, the confetti was coming down, and you felt this. You felt so good for him, but you didn't feel as good as you should have. And we really had a difficult time coming to grips with that. Then our son-in-law, Tom Crean, coach at Indiana, who was with us, had talked with Doc Rivers. They had texted back and forth after the game, and Doc said, "Tom, I can understand your in-laws and their feelings, because a parent can only be as happy as their unhappiest child." And so it kind of took the pressure off of us a little bit, and we understood, you know, that feeling that we had, because we knew that there was another son in another locker room that had just suffered the disappointment of coming up short in the Super Bowl. So that was a life lesson for both of us.
I've got 2 minutes left, and I want to ask you about the piece that was on television nationally about your son's interest as military buffs. Up at Gettysburg, it was a wonderful piece. And I mean, where does that come from?
I think it comes back all the way back into school. I remember Jim, when he was in the fifth grade, he had a history teacher that was really a history buff. Her name was Miss Hiller. And Jim loved, up until then, recess was probably the thing that he enjoyed most. But she got to him, and she hit that button, and history became something that he was totally excited about all the way, you know, through high school and then into college, and then has really, really taken it to another level now. His very best friend and high school friend was a young man by the name of Jimmy Minnick, who's now a colonel in the Marine Corps. He was in Iraq a couple different times, and he and Jim Minnick get together and talk about not just, you know, their experiences, but, you know, the strategies and the motivation and working with young people, and Jim has tried to carry some of those things over into the game of football. John, from the other side at Baltimore, he has been, I think, close to Washington and General Ordinaro, and he's gotten to know some of those generals and people, the wounded warriors, the different supporting those different groups as they are in Washington. He has become a real humanitarian and has taken a more of a perspective from that side of it to these young men and women that come back and tries to reach out and do all he can as an individual, and the Baltimore Ravens do as an organization.
In about 20 seconds, is there any one thing that in your long career of coaching that kind of makes you smile about what you've done?
Just my life. I think the one thing that makes me so proud is that you coach for 45 active years. I think it's 45, and I don't know how many games that would entail. I don't know how many wins. I don't know how many losses. I don't know all of those different things, but I do remember the players that I coached. And the other thing, to see two sons that saw the good, they saw the bad, they saw the ugly, they saw nights you came home and you got your tail kicked, they saw excitement in winning games and those kinds of things. They saw it all.
Jack Harbaugh with us, former player and coach, who is the father of the first pair of brothers to serve as NFL head coaches and the first pair of head coaching brothers to face off in the Super Bowl, John and Jim Harbaugh. We continue with more of You in Sports Byline.